Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about four ways to liquidate debt. Our economy is driven by access to credit, and credit facilities of all types are essentially a claim on future earnings. You might not have the money today, but you forecast that you will in the future. So if someone lends you that excess money that they're not using right now, you'll give it back with extra in exchange for letting you use the funds today. It doesn't matter whether the borrower is an individual, a corporation, a charitable organization, or the government of a sovereign nation. Well, the four ways to liquidate a debt obligation are: number one, you can repay the debt using future earnings and rely on the week-to-week or month-to-month cash flow to service that debt and repay both the interest and the principal over the life of the loan. Number two, you could rely on a capital transaction to provide the source of funds to repay the loan. Number three, you could wipe out the debt through an act of insolvency by seeking bankruptcy protection. Or number four, you could inflate away the debt. Most businesses act in a manner that's fiscally responsible, and if they don't, they tend to be out of business pretty quickly. Government, on the other hand, seems to have a very hard time behaving in a manner that's fiscally responsible. The net result is issuance of more and more debt to fund the shortfall. The problem is the shortfall is continuing to grow. The reason, or one of them, is that entitlement payments like Social Security, healthcare, unemployment benefits, and welfare programs are also growing as a percentage of the total. The aging population means that more people are collecting Social Security while there are fewer people in the population contributing to the tax rolls. In 2019, prior to the pandemic, these expenditures amounted to 48% of federal spending in the United States. During the pandemic, entitlement spending grew to 65% of all federal spending, and by 2022, with the expiration of the pandemic benefits, entitlement spending amounted to 52% of total government expenditures. Canada's in a similar position, with 40% of federal spending on entitlements. The budget shortfall in Canada is 8.7% of total government spending, amounts to about 1.4% of GDP. That compares with a deficit of 38.6% in the U.S., which is 8.5% of GDP. When government spending exceeds revenues by such a wide margin, the result is inflation. The ever-growing debt has no path to repayment. The deficit is so large there's no viable spending cut that will bring the budget back into balance. If you cut Social Security entirely, zeroed it out, gone, which accounts for 25% of all spending, that will not be enough. The U.S. spends $1.5 trillion on Social Security, and the deficit's $1.7 trillion. Not enough. Clearly, cutting Social Security is not socially or politically viable. Cutting defense spending won't do it either. That's only $1.1 trillion. The problem seems intractable. The rising interest rates have increased the debt service of the U.S. government in the past year. There's nearly $1 trillion in interest being paid on the debt. The U.S. is not far from being in a debt trap, which eventually means the interest expense eats the nation alive. Now, we've seen so many countries experience hyperinflation. The most recent one in the news, of course, is Argentina, where their inflation is running at 145% on an annual basis. Raising interest rates won't eliminate inflation either in Argentina. The benchmark rate, which was just increased to 133%, up from 118% a short while ago. The only solution to reducing inflation is to cut spending and to stop borrowing. Inflation is the problem. But if the government wants to liquidate the sovereign debt, devaluing the currency is a great way to do it. It is, after all, a hidden tax. Have you ever wondered why the U.S. dollar might be rising if it's fiscally so irresponsible? Well, my friend Russell Gray describes it using the skydiving analogy. Imagine for a moment that all the central bankers of all the nations around the world decided to go skydiving. They all jump out of an aircraft simultaneously at 10,000 feet. But one of the bankers, the chair of the Federal Reserve, decides to pull the ripcord on his parachute before everyone else. From the perspective of the other central bankers, it appears as though the U.S. banker has just shot up compared with everyone else. The U.S. is still falling, just more slowly than the others. It's an illusion. The U.S. has only one option left. There's not enough income to repay the debt. There's nothing to sell that would solve the problem, and declaring bankruptcy isn't an option either. The only option left is to inflate away the debt. Inflation is the silent tax. It's the tax where the population blames the grocer, and the person behind the cash register at the gas station instead of blaming the government. Now, Argentina just elected a new president who's proposing to adopt the U.S. dollar as a solution to the country's fiscal problems. Well, for now, the U.S. dollar is the gold standard. A good measure of that is the yield on the 30-year Treasury note. It's hardly budged from where it was in the spring of 2011. At that time, we were nearing the bottom of the real estate crash associated with the Great Financial Crisis. The U.S. only had $14 trillion in debt back then. If the ballooning debt is reason for concern, then it would appear that the market has not attached a risk premium to the 30-year bond, considering the more than doubling of the debt in the past dozen years. Inflation is the problem, and so is inflation the solution. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.